We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, October 17th, 2024. October is halfway through. We're creeping up on Halloween, if that's your thing. I know it's mine. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. Going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every single week. Going to start off with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from a purple haze in Cloud 9, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, fresh off of a trip back from Chicago, I want to throw a quick shout out to your wife for running the Chicago Marathon. That's fucking awesome, man. And finishing in just over, 6 hours?
Yes, sir. She finished with the mortals, but she finished, you know, in a perfectly respectable time for the mortals. And it was a long time coming because obviously she's been a runner for a long, long time. And, you know, it's been a thing that I've told her since she's, you know, done her first couple of 5Ks. I'm like, oh, you'll do a marathon. And, she did it. And she, you know, she did the whole training regimen. And she, you know, in that training regimen, I always find this fascinating, is that you, when you're doing your runs, you know, 8 miles this day and 9 miles that day, et cetera, et cetera. When you finally get to towards the end of your training routine, the closest you get to running actually 26.2 miles they vary, but you never run 26.2. And Emily's was you run 20 one day and then the next day you run 10. And that's the closest it gets. And then apparently, you know, at that point you're ready. And the last 6.2 is all mental, even though you've never done 20 in one day. So ipso facto, it worked and she completed the Chicago Marathon like I always told her she would. And so I'm insanely proud of her, but I'm also not surprised at all. And she's, you know, she has said at the beginning of this, you know, when she finally signed up for it, she said, you know, I'm never doing another one, never doing another one. This is going to be a one and done. And she's already looking at certain half marathons and stuff that are in the very near future. So I can see the bug getting her at least one more time. Cause, you know, we're from Boston. We have a pretty famous marathon ourselves and I feel like she's going to get the itch. But all that to say, I'm insanely proud of my wife and I'm insanely tired, because Chicago was awesome. And shout out to myself. Meeting up with friends who flew in for us to see Emily run the Chicago Marathon, our friends Sarah and Dawn. Their hotel was on the other side of town. So I had to go, once Emily left for the marathon at 6 in the morning or whatever, I went to meet up with them at 8, and by then all the roads are closed and all that, so you have to go over the river and through the woods and, you know, to get to where you go. According to my watch and my pedometer on my phone and my watch. I walked 25.1 miles that day. So,
wow.
Shout out me. Yeah.
Look at you. Yeah. Now, why do you stay so thin?
Because we walk. I mean, we Emily and I walk everywhere we go anyway. And then, you know, we do 18 miles walking all. But, I mean, that's all day. You know, sun up to sundown. So let's all calm down and think about how much that is when you're in a city. It really isn't.
It's easy to walk that. I used to do that in New York all the time.
Exactly. It's very easy to do that. But I thought it was very funny that I walked just shy of a marathon in a day that she ran one. But anyway, thank you for the shout out. She's insanely proud. She was very happy, and I'm very proud of her.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, hopefully when she does the next one, it'll be just as rewarding of an experience for her, or for you both, really, for both of you. That's awesome.
In Chicago, you know what? Much like Philly, actually, I can't even say this. Well, I'll put Chicago Phil's city over. That city fucking rules. easy, walkable. We did the water taxi because obviously they have the river. They're on Lake Michigan. They have a river that goes right through the city and all around the city. So, it's very, very easy to get places via water taxi. We did that. The deep dish pizza, I do not care. If you're Chicagoan and you say it's a tourist trap thing or whatever, every city has that weird thing. And I love deep dish pizza anyway. We went to Giordano's. Holy shit. It's everything it's cracked up to be. But again, I'm me and I love deep dish pan, whatever kind of pizza anyway. But in any case, that stuff is the real deal. So do not let, if you ever go to Chicago, do not let the locals or the naysayers steer you away from a real Chicago pan pizza or deep dish pizza, because those things rip. That's my report on Chicago.
Yeah, sometimes you got to do the tourist trap stuff. It's perfectly okay. Glad you guys had a great time. Going to kick it over here to the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Ray Cash's daddy and a man with a golden shovel. Mr. Rob, sir, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back. And I have my own funny little story. Because last week I was driving my mom to a dental appointment, and I told her I was in a couple of weeks I'm going to Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm going to the NXT TakeOver show because it's not far from here. And she had a funny question for me because she asked, she says, "Oh, what's Hulk Hogan up to now?"
How long of an awkward pause was there after she asked that?
So I was like, okay. So, you know, cause it wasn't long as like, well, what's a really quick answer I could give without having to go into everything? So, I said, "Oh, well, he's retired and, you know, he goes to conventions now. He just signs autographs, take pictures. And, you know, a lot of the older wrestlers do these conventions now, and it's really good because they get to make some money that, you know, when they're retired, and it wasn't like that, you know, back in the day. So, yeah, he does stuff like that now."
And Rob, you just neglected to say what kind of conventions he's been to recently, right?
Yeah, don't, at this point, don't spoil Christmas for her. If she doesn't know by now, just leave it.
But that is your reminder that the general public does not know the stuff that we obsess about over here so much. The general public doesn't really have much of an idea about any of this stuff.
No, it keeps itself pretty tight-lipped, and, you know, that's just one of those things, man.
Yeah, because my mom, she knows Hulk Hogan. I think she might know The Rock. And that's about it. But for somebody who does not pay any attention to that stuff, but who knows that her son watches it, that's about what it is. That's pretty much what it's like. That's it. You know, my supervisor knows Roman Reigns. He's heard of Roman Reigns. Okay. That is like
Does he acknowledge Roman Reigns?
He's a 49ers fan, so I guess kind of indirectly, yes. So, that's how it is out there, folks.
Hey, any way you can get to the tribe, we'll take you.
Yeah. That's how it is out there, folks. Just don't get, don't get too caught up in the bubble here. You got to run.
Well, why don't you introduce our first topic?
Going to in a minute while we're telling stories. I had an interesting day at work today. Side note here, a little side road. I am on vacation next week. So Rob and Jason will be holding down the fort on their own. It'll be the two of them with whatever they come up with. I'm always interested to see what you guys do when I'm not here. It's all every single time you guys have knocked it out of the park. Let me start by saying that. So my last week of work, every single time I go on vacation, some fuckery happens. Like something happens that just slows the week down. And like 5 days somehow stretches out to feel like 11, and I'm off work at like 11:30 tomorrow. But today, I had a couple of lovely patients, beautiful people, wonderful people. And one lady looked at me at one point, and she said, "Sir, are you a rabbi?" And I paused because it took me a second to understand. I'm like, "Oh yeah, the beard." "No, ma'am, I'm not." "Well, why do you grow a beard?" "Just seemed like the thing to do, ma'am." "Let's go. Have a seat out here. They'll call you in for the doctor in a little bit." And I had another patient, was absolutely appalled that I have never watched a single episode of Friends. She starts talking.
You have a podcast mate who's absolutely appalled that you've never watched a single episode of Friends. So I empathize.
Okay, but am I un-American for never having seen a full episode of Friends?
You might be on some lists.
I don't know. That's exactly what she said. She was like completely like flabbergasted because she goes into this reference. I work in ophthalmology, and she was complaining about the eye drops because everybody complains about the dilation drops. And I only know the reference because it's one of the more popular episodes of Friends, and it ties into Tom Selleck played an ophthalmologist for several episodes, if not a full season on there. And I guess there's one of the characters on there that made this big deal about going to the eye doctor and getting drops and all this shit. So she kept saying, "You know, you're going to make me have a Rachel moment. And I know what this means simply because I'm not that far out of the bubble. I may have never watched the show, but you spend enough time on the internet, shit comes around your way. So I understood the reference, but I was like, she's like, "Oh, you know the show Friends." I'm like, "Ma'am, I have officially spent more time talking to you about Friends in this room than I have ever watched in actuality." And she, like, her eyes got real big. She's like, "You're kidding me." I'm like, "No, ma'am, I'm serious." She's like, "How can you not? It's hilarious." I'm like, "I'm picky." And this is true. I'm iffy about comedies. Like sitcoms, I'm really, really particular about. Like I can probably count on one hand how many sitcoms I've actually enjoyed and say that I thoroughly enjoyed, and those include like Cheers, Night Court, Living Single, you know, stuff like that. So I'm not a big sitcom person. So yeah, I'm officially un-American because I've never seen a full episode of Friends. That's part of how my day went. And then at about 2:45, one of the other managers, I'm in with a patient, I'm finishing like literally at the end of my exam. She peeks her head and she's like, "Look, I'm sorry. Somebody smelled an electrical fire in the OR and we're evacuating the building." So we evacuate the building. All these patients, we're at the tail end of our day, man. Like I said, our schedule wraps up around 3:45. It's 2:45. We've got about a dozen to 20 more patients left to check in, and we have to drag everybody out into the parking lot. Now, luckily it had cooled down out here a little bit. So it's like in the high 70s, low 80s, and there was a nice breeze. So it wasn't hot, and it wasn't piss-pouring rain like it was 2 weeks ago. So we're standing out there, and, of course, the fire department gets called. And when I say the fire department, Sebastian is a very small town, and I'm pretty sure every active firefighter in Sebastian showed up at our office. We had a ladder truck so they could get on the roof. We had two other fire trucks. We had the EMT show up. Then the fire chief showed up. Then the sheriff's department showed up, and they're all running through the building, checking, looking for stuff, and the sheriff parks like right in the very entrance of the building. So then another fire truck shows up and proceeds to hit the sheriff's car.
Oh, no.
Now, hold on. What? Let's be fair. I'm assuming this is a rather large building.
You're fairly large, yeah. You know, 10 to 15,000 square feet.
Someone said electrical fire.
Yeah.
Which means we're talking with fire that starts in the walls.
Yeah.
This thing can get out of control in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I can understand the whole damn department showing up.
Oh, I get it, but they were blocking people in. Patients were like driving up over the curb because patients were like, oh, they're not going to see anybody else. We're just going to go ahead and leave. If there's a fire, I don't want to be here anywhere near it, which is fine. You know what? Call. But they're driving over the curb. They're trying to, you know, navigate around all the fire trucks. And then the last fire truck hits the sheriff's car, which was amazing. We're all standing there. We hear this ka-thud crash and we look over and like all of his, rear blinker lights like completely obliterated. It was great. It was hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been there for 12 and a half years now and I have never once, like, we have fire drills just so we know how to handle a situation. We've never had an actual live fire type situation. And I don't even know what the resolution was, because after about an hour of standing there, they finally let us all go back in the building. So I don't know whatever actually caught fire, if anything did, or whether somebody just smelled something that was suspicious.
Yeah. Oh boy, what a day, DJ.
Yeah, absolutely. Next to the last day, I clock in at 7 tomorrow. I clock out at 11:30. I'm not staying 1 minute longer.
Yeah.
I told them. I'm heading over to the barber. I'm going to get the award-winning beard cleaned up. And then I'm going to go over right next door to the barber shop is the tattoo shop. And a buddy of mine is getting some ink done. I'm going to go in there and hang out with him. And then I'm on vacation, officially on vacation as of noon tomorrow.
Well, there you go, man. You deserve it.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to this. I'm just looking forward to 4.5 days of floating around in the Atlantic, eating lots of good food and drinking lots of alcohol. It's going to be great.
Sounds lovely.
So we've gotten all the cursory stuff out of the way. How about we get in here and talk a little bit of wrestling? We've got a few things to talk about. What's the first thing we were going to talk about, Rob? Cause like all the introductions and everything fell right out of my head.
Well, speaking of things that, people outside of the wrestling bubble are not very cognizant of. There has been some rank stupid chatter on the internet this week about one Mr. Brock Lesnar.
Mm.
I'm sorry, I brought the wrong topic up first. I'm sorry, folks.
That's okay. We'll just go into it because I forgot what the other topic was. Shot out of a cannon tonight.
But hang on, with Rob's little promo on Hulkster there, you know, that and his reminder that Nana doesn't know about Hulkster, guys, you know, it kind of is appropriate that we go into this.
It's a fine segue into the Brock Lesnar discussion, because it kind of is what Rob was talking about, is there were a couple of dirtiest of the dirt sheets with a Z, saying that WWE is, you know, in talks and in plans to bring Brock Lesnar back, which, no shit, why wouldn't they? And if you're saying, well, here's why, we're going to briefly talk about that in a minute. And then the other half will say, no, there's been no discussions, blah, 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 blah. But you check on the website. At one point after the dirtiest of the stuff came out about a year ago, Brock was removed from the WWE roster. He's now listed as back on the roster, officially, Jason, if I'm not mistaken.
Nope, I've seen it with my own eyes. He's on.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been to the website, so I don't know. I'm taking you at your word on that, and I trust you. So Brock is, you know, apparently back on the roster. A lot of people, and you know what? If you feel any certain way about it, I do not fault you. There were a lot of things that came out that, you know, that Brock Lesnar was supposedly his name was brought up in certain circumstances, even if not him by name, by description.
Yeah,
one can.
How was it stated? Because you had that.
Okay, so basically, all right. So the lady Janelle Grant, who was suing the company, and she sued Vince McMahon, and you know she's given her account of various things that, you know, Vince McMahon basically, you know, Trump was interested in her with and did other things and blah, blah, blah. And one of the things in one of these parts, she mentioned a former UFC champion who was a WWE wrestler. And there are only two former, if you say former UFC champion was a WWE wrestler around in the early 2020s. That's two people. That's Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey. Okay. And she described him as a he, so that is Brock Lesnar.
That narrows it down even further.
Yeah. So it is him. And basically what she's saying is that Brock sent her some text that he was basically told by Vince, hey, this is a girl who will do some things for you. And so he sent her some texts, and I won't describe everything.
No, he made some rather disgusting requests, allegedly.
Put it this way. Yeah, look, some people like doing nasty stuff. And so he sent her some texts asking her if she wanted to.
He was told he could proposition her, and he did in the strongest way possible. There we go.
Yeah, I believe
that. That's a good way of putting it.
Yes. Yeah. So he was told this girl will do some things if you want her to. And so he asked. Okay. He had some things that he
shot his shot. I mean, we're making a joke about it, but he shot his shot.
And that's it.
So when that came out, because it was just mentioned in the lawsuit as evidence or as her testimony or what in the lawsuit. And then when that came out shortly thereafter, it did go around the sheets that, you know, Brock was going to become person non grata and, you know, disappear. And, you know, he was, in fact, Rob and I both, and I don't know if DJ looked at that time, but Rob and I both saw with our own eyes, he was removed from the WWE website.
Yeah, this much I knew. The roster.
He was put in the alumni section. He was.
Yeah. Exactly. Removed and put into the alumni section. And so now I'm going to go right off the top and say, if you feel however you feel about Brock Lesnar coming back, I do not fault you. Okay? Like, if you have any sort of opinion, if you're upset, if you're whatever, I do not fault you. This discussion that we're going to have now is that he's probably coming back. And everyone can feel however what they're going to feel about it. But it's kind of, you need to prepare for it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, it's just, I don't care what the dirt sheets are saying, and, you know, they can walk back everything. He was removed from the website. He's back now.
And also, well, I guess what really bothered me is just the way in which they talked about it. It's basically, it's the same old nobody knows anything bullshit.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
You know, the internal conversations. Okay. Internal conversations can be two people who work in the mailroom talking about it in the hallway.
Right. It could be somebody walked by Tommaso and Gargano, and they were like, hey, man, do you think Brock's ever coming back? And Tommaso's like, yeah, probably. And that's it.
Yeah,
or like, I don't know. Yeah. Is Brock coming back? I don't know. Well, internal discussions are being had if Brock Lesnar is coming back.
Yeah, and that's it. Because at every company in the world, there are internal discussions about all kinds of shit. And internal discussions could literally be, hey, man, where are we going to lunch today?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an internal discussion. Okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
But it's all because they're hedging their bets, because now he's back on the website. That's really what's going on.
Another thing that triggered it was during Cody's promo Monday, he said he's beaten kings and he's slain beasts. So slain beasts is a trigger word for the sheets, you know.
But also, I'm sorry, even if Brock's person non grata, I'm that's a feather in my cap. I pinned Brock Lesnar. So I'm going to mention it as part of my capital story. So I think that people are.
That's a bit of a reach if you're extrapolating that. Yeah.
Well, exactly. There were people doing that. There
were people put it this way. That one could go either way.
Well, but there were people doing it. I saw people on my Twitter.
I did too.
Doing it all. What does it all mean? And I mean,
start reading the tea leaves, Jesus.
Well, I mean, we're reading the tea leaves about the website. I mean, they could just be like, okay, nothing else is going to come out about him, you know, put him back on the website because, you know, he's Brock fucking Lesnar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, okay, I wouldn't tell you to bet the house on him coming back,
right.
But you should absolutely not be surprised if at some point he shows up again.
And the other half of that we want to talk about is If he comes out at 30 at the Royal Rumble, he's getting cheered.
Yes.
That's the other half of this, like, and I'm telling this to, and I'm, maybe I'm being harsh about it, but I'm telling this to, especially to the people who are going to be upset that he's back. And again, your feelings are completely justified, but also you need to realize that this stuff has gotten, his part in the Vince McMahon drama has not cracked the bubble, guys.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, because I saw something like, oh, well, if they're bringing Brock back, he must have been found innocent.
Not even that. Like, that's not even, that's just like, okay, but nothing else is going to come out.
Right.
Like,
but that's the thing. He wasn't charged with anything. Like, right, and like I said, I'm not excusing his part in what may have been, but at the end of the day, a man worked for another man, and this man's boss offered a meat-eating, testosterone-filled man an opportunity to have sex with a woman. Okay, he said, hey, I've got this girl. She'll do X, Y, Z. Shoot her a text. Brock shot her a text. As far as I'm concerned, that is an issue between Brock Lesnar and his wife. Now, if this is a larger issue of this being part of this quote-unquote trafficking situation with Vince, then we're having a different discussion.
If there was any sort of coercion at all, then where the throw every baby out with every bathwater.
Right. But yeah. As of right now, as far as I'm concerned, this is a domestic issue between Brock Lesnar and his wife.
That's especially, again, if nothing else is going to come of this, that's especially how they look at it when they justify it and say, okay, we're paying this guy to come back at the Royal Rumble.
Exactly. You know, and like you said, and let me hammer home what Jason said. If you feel a certain way about it, nobody on this show has boo to say about it. Let me be very clear there. You know, it's, I support anyone feeling the way they feel about it. But the reality of it is, if it's nothing more than he sent some nasty texts to a woman that his boss put him in touch with, guys.
That's not enough. They're going to do the equation. And I'm not even saying I would do the equation the same way. DJs would not even do it the same, but we're just, and maybe we're being a little cynical, but they're going to look at that equation and look at the money that Brock Lesnar brings in and the fact that he probably is going to get a pop. And this really isn't a big, you know, PR thing for them. They're going to pull the trigger, guys.
Yeah.
Well, and let me just say this. Okay, if this were a football team, they wouldn't. They're not going to release any one of the players. If Bob Kraft went to Tom Brady and said, "Hey Tom, you know, I got this girl. She'll do some stuff," and if Tom sent her some texts,
well, look at this. We don't even have to be theoretical. Deshaun Watson is the quarterback of the Browns right now.
And he has settled like 30 lawsuits.
He's settled everything and he's still got shit coming down the pike.
And so, Roethlisberger.
And that's, and he is in some sort of cruel joke, but hilarious of the gods. He is beyond a bum at this point.
Yeah, Deshaun, well, yeah, he stinks. So
he's not Brock fucking Lesnar. He never was, relatively.
And right now, he stinks.
They still gave him mountains of money and a guaranteed contract and a starting quarterback job.
So
NFL and WWE are, you know, especially with this new merger, with TKO and all that. You know, again, I hate to say that if you feel the way you feel about it, and then be the stormy little rain cloud, but there's, you know, a lot of the talk in our circles and, you know, these, you know, reporters going back and forth and back and forth about this isn't helping anyone.
Because it's engagement trafficking.
Yes.
And that's the weirdest thing about it. It's just like, and we're kind of doing it too. So, you know.
Yeah.
I hate the engagement trafficking. Because we wouldn't, if they weren't talking about it, we would not be talking about it this week.
Because also our peers are talking about it, our friends on, they may be our friends online, but they're our friends, guys.
You know, yeah. And so
it's just like, why are these people stirring this pot again? Report something when there's something to fucking report. And Cody saying he's slain beasts is not something to report.
No. And, because look, there are two ways this goes. Okay. Either they're going to bring him back or they're not. And there's no news until he either shows up or they negotiate some type of buyout with him, and then that will be reported, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's,
or they just let his contract expire, and you know, that too.
And now my thing with that is he probably gets paid too much for them to just want him to pay him to stay home.
Yeah, they're not just going to buy him out here.
They either want to bring him in or they want to buy him out. I don't think they're not just going to send him money for the next 2 years or whatever to sell him farm. I think they're either going to want to, you know, be done, and they'll buy him out. They'll negotiate some type of buyout with him, mm-hmm. or they're going to bring him back. That's how it's going. Right. So he's not going to sit home for 2 years and just get TKO money. And I don't think that's going to happen. So
it's probably right.
So until one of those two things happens, and Brock, he's probably got the kind of contract where they can't just release him and tell him to get out of here, because Brock's not a mark. So, you know, and he's not, you know, I sincerely doubt he negotiated any type of contract where they can just throw him out. It was going to cost them a lot of money to throw him out. So they're either going to have to negotiate some type of buyout or they're going to bring him back in.
That's get their money out of him. Yeah.
That's what it's going to be, folks.
And listen, here, we'll take it even one further. This is a promise to the listeners. We won't talk about him again. Directly. Until there's something to talk about. And I don't mean talks. And if Sean Ross Sapp comes out in 3 months and says, oh, there's talks of bringing Brock Lesnar back. No. If he reports contract signed, it's happening. Okay, then we'll talk about it. Because, Sean wouldn't stick his neck out on something like that. So, anyway.
I think we can move on from this.
We're going to be done with Brock Lesnar, too, after this segment.
Yep.
Yeah, and you guys listening, you should not care. All right. I mean, other than you know, what personal opinions you have of him and what, you know, and all of that. But as far as the chatter, you should not care until he shows up.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Facts.
And so. if he never shows up, then you don't have to worry about him ever again.
Yeah.
But it's not worth your attention. It's not worth you stressing yourself out over. Okay. Cause either it's going to happen or it's not. Until it does happen, then there's nothing for you to even think about here.
And it's not worth you guys going and spending your money on the dirt sheet websites to get non-news. You know, and you'll know as soon as he shows up. Save your money. As a matter of fact, I got a better way for you to spend your money. Go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. You need a t-shirt. Your friends need a t-shirt. Your family. The holidays are coming up. Everybody needs a t-shirt. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the available t-shirts from all your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the one you're listening to, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. That's right. We have, and we've had for quite a while, our own shirt. Go pick one up. The starving artist on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got the PWI Women's 250, as well as a couple other little nuggets to talk about. You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Again, you can find us on thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back. Okay, so several months ago, we did the PWI Men's Top 500 discussion. The Women's Top 250 was dropped this week. My co-host Rob has the list here. We're going to break down at least the top 10, maybe the top 20, and just kind of pick out some notable things. I think Rob has some issues with the list. I have some questions. Jason seems to think that the top 10 maybe shuffle it around a little bit, but he agrees with the top 10 at large. Rob, let's get in here.
All right. So without wasting any time here, number one is Timeless Toni Storm. And that is absolutely the correct choice. Okay. Just to let you know, the grading period, so to speak, started on October 1st of last year. and it ran through September.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
September 30th of this year. So Tony won the AEW Women's World Championship in November of last year. She held it until August of this year. So that's 9 months. 9 out of the 12 months, she was a world champion. Okay. She had like 5 pay-per-view title defenses and a bunch of other title defenses on television. And she beat people like, she beat good people too. She beat Deonna Purrazzo. She beat Thunder Rosa. She beat Nyla Rose. She beat Riho. Those are 2 former AEW Women's World Champions. She beat Mina Shirakawa, who was, from Stardom, and she's really good too. So she beat a lot of good people. She was champ for 9 months, and
the gimmick was tremendous.
That is.
You yes. can't deny that. For all the crap that we talk about AEW, and we often say that a lot of people who went from WWE to AEW really didn't amount to much. That is absolutely not the case with Toni Storm. And I'm not saying that WWE wouldn't have done something meaningful with her, but what she's managed to do for herself and what they've done, and then the platform that they've given her to perform this character has been one of the best things they've done.
Yeah, and look, for my money, look, if we're talking just women wrestling characters over the past year, to me, that's the best one.
It is.
Yeah.
While playing a character. Like, I mean, because this is not some... She's not playing an extension of herself. She's not playing herself turned up to 11.
No, that was WWE Toni Storm.
Yeah,
she's, that was the rocker. Like, the rocker girl.
Yeah, this is she's doing an acting job here. A real acting job here. Okay?
And the best part is she's acting, playing an actor.
Yes.
It's so tremendous. It really
it's
is.
Like, it's like wrestling girl. Inception.
Right. Yeah. I can't put that girl over enough. Like, tremendous.
And she totally stays in character through all these different interviews and whatnot, and just turned in. Cause she went to one of these interviews she did, she went on about having some affair with Stan Hansen. And it was like, ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous.
She's and timeless. So,
yeah. Like Stan Hansen hit me with a lariat, she said. All the double entendres and everything.
The old timey Hollywood, like, oh my God, yeah. It's tremendous.
So, you can't. Yeah, she's number one, and
and
you know, whether it's in the ring and with the character, she was number one for this period. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have no arguments with that.
And look, and again, because she flat out quit WWE, she said, I want out of here. And they let her leave. And a lot of us were kind of like, okay. And she was right.
Sometimes you got to get out, man. As much as we defend WWE, there are instances throughout history where people have gotten out. Current Universal Champion is the poster child for that. You know, so it's some people you got to get out of there, and you can, you know, blame, you know, Vince booking because, you know, she left while Vince was still in charge. And, you know, a lot of what she had problems with was a lot of the booking under that regime. So, okay, that's fair. But yeah, she got out. She honed her creativity and she figured something out that's absolutely incredible. And she can take that anywhere.
Yeah.
She could take it back to WWE.
She could. She could.
So,
let's talk about number two, man, because that's an interesting discussion.
Okay, number two, Jordynne Grace.
That's a discussion because I don't disagree with that.
Me neither. No. She won the Knockouts title in January. She is still the Knockouts champion today. She beat Trinity or Naomi, as you know her in WWE. And she has carried the Knockouts division because They lost Naomi, Gianna Perrazzo, and Mickey James all in January. That's three heavy hitters. Those would be three heavy hitters in any company.
Yeah.
Right now, if they showed up. And they lost all three of them in January. And Jordan has basically been carrying that division against a bunch of people who were kind of mid-card level at best. She got the absolute best match out of, you know, formerly Dana Brooke, now Ash by Elegance. She got the absolute best match out of that woman you will ever have seen in your life.
Yep.
And then she also wrestled some people from NXT. And, you know, and she wrestled Roxanne, she challenged Roxanne and didn't beat her, but she has defended the Knockouts title against several women from NXT. So she has even taken that title out of her own company and defended it. So, and she's been doing, and so that is a just tremendous amount of heavy lifting she's been doing all year. And so I would, yeah, I mean, her having her at number two, I think is absolutely correct.
Yeah. Rhea Ripley at number three, I don't disagree with that. I think Rhea's injury kind of set her lower on the list than she maybe might have been. I think you probably could have put her at number two had she held on to the, I'm sorry, Jason, the Raw Women's Championship a bit longer.
Yeah. Oh, see, I guess.
And she's also, she's involved in the second largest storyline on WWE TV currently.
Yeah. I guess for me, she was out for 4 months. That definitely puts a damper on it. And unless you want to count house shows, I mean, you can if you want. Yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know, because WWE is the only company that runs house shows now. So,
yeah.
I mean, but even if you do count those, I mean, Tony almost had the same number of matches as her. So she wasn't super active, relatively speaking.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying she should, I'm not suggesting she should have been number one, but I think if she had held on to that championship, Tony Storm is unquestionably number one. Yeah, like that's not even debatable.
Yeah, if she hadn't missed time and she's still champion, which I think we all kind of were thinking that she wasn't losing that. She wasn't going to go 3 years like Roman Reigns, but she wasn't losing it. She wasn't going to lose that thing for a while if she hadn't gotten
right. You could easily have swapped her and Jordan Grace had she not gotten injured.
Yeah.
The Women's World Championship.
He's so triggered by that.
It's easy now, though. Like, it's just, like, I'm almost sad for you guys.
At this point, I'm turning it into a bit.
I'm just sad for you guys that you can't get this right. It's like, SmackDown's blue, and Raw's red, yep. And the world title, looks like an old school world title, and the WWE title looks like a new WWE title. It's not hard, guys.
It's like they have the pizza tag team titles on Raw, you know?
Now, those ones I can't defend, man.
Those belts over on SmackDown, though, man.
Well, I like the way that the Raw belts look. I think they're good-looking belts, but they just happen to look like pizza.
They do. But, man, I'm such a fan of those throwback tag team championships that are on SmackDown. I love those things.
Anyway, we're losing.
Yeah, we're getting off topic here.
All right.
Reel it back in here.
Okay, number four is Maika from Stardom. I got nothing.
Yeah. All right.
I have no idea. You know, I can't tell you anything about it. I know. Yeah. Number five is Stephanie McCour, who we do know because she's in NXT now, but apparently she had put a really good run for herself together before she came aboard. And I will take their word for it. Okay, because I did not watch anything she did before, other than she had a match with Mercedes at Forbidden Door. I watched, other than that, I had not seen a thing that she had done anywhere else before she came to NXT. So I will
take their word. I find it interesting that Stephanie McCour is at number five. Julia is not even in the top 20. And Julia, if you ask the internet, was the bigger catch.
I would tell you that Stephanie was right there in terms of like hype of people that I've really never heard of. Like, yes, everyone was.
I was more familiar with
Julia
than Stephanie Bacour.
No, when it was kind of known that she might be heading that way, like it, the folks I follow were just excited about it, about her as Julia. Well, I feel like Julia's just been in the wind longer.
Yeah. And that's what it is. Like, she lost the title that she was holding. She lost it earlier. And she's been in. I think she was injured for a while too. So
the hype has been longer for her.
Yeah.
Stephanie just all of a sudden like, oh, she's a free agent. Oh, she's going to NXT. Oh shit.
Well, she made a little pit stop over to help somebody else start a new promotion, didn't she?
Yeah, oh, that's right.
And in fact, that comes next because number six is Saray. And we know her as Saray from NXT.
NXT, yeah. That's a shame that didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think, I don't know, you know, it just, for whatever reason, it just didn't. Cause I think honestly, I don't know. I just think she didn't really stand out enough. I don't know, but whatever.
Plus, but I think she just wanted to go back to Japan anyway, didn't she? Sometimes you get homesick.
Yeah. So she's number six.
But, yeah. Good for her though. That's a pretty incredible run.
Yeah. All right. Number seven is Bayley. And so Bayley won the, she won the SmackDown Women's title at WrestleMania.
Yes, she did. yes, she did.
Until SummerSlam.
I'm only agreeing because I was excited to be there for that one. But it was the WWE Women's Championship. Jesus.
Okay, and so I don't have a problem with being number seven. Number eight is Willow Nightingale. I would have Willow higher, but I would, one of those stardom ladies, I would move down because I don't know anything about them. I have been watching Willow since last year. So, she won a couple of titles. She got to the finals of their Owen Hart tournament thing in AEW and she's been winning most of her matches and she's gotten really good because I first saw her 3 years ago, her and Roxanne Perez at Ring of Honor Final Battle back in 2021. I can tell you she has improved by leaps and bounds since then.
And what a joy. Like, in Jason's words, she is a delight.
Yes.
Dude,
she really is a genuine delight.
And her with the conglomeration, like, that group of, you know, just lovable, you know, over people on AEW. Like, she's just, you know, a star among them, so... It's tremendous. She's great. Yeah, I was gonna. My two cents was gonna be. I don't think we need to put Willow over anymore on this show because you know all three of us just love her to death.
And you know, and look, and I'll just say this. She had Mercedes' best match this year by far, and they had a really good match. It was at I think it was a Double or Nothing. I think yeah, and. So I can't put her over enough and hopefully she's due for a super huge crowning moment next year sometime, I think. And if they don't give it to her, then she needs to get on the train to Tampa. Okay.
Absolutely.
But anyway, number nine is actually the woman who beat Willow in the Owen Hart tournament, Mariah May, and Mariah has been the other half of the Toni Storm storyline. Okay, I would have swapped her, just for heads up, Roxanne is number 11. I would have swapped them around, but I think they wanted to kind of capture the moment here with Mariah because she is the AEW Women's Champion. She did beat Toni Storm in one of the biggest women's matches of the year. And look, come next year, if Toni comes back and beats her and she doesn't, and she doesn't win the title back after that, then, you've kind of lost your window to really give her this level of praise here that she deserves.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I mean, now even looking back at it, this might have been very much on purpose, but she joined the Timeless Toni act as kind of a tag along and she was doing a great job at being awkward about it. But she slowly became literally the other half to that performance. So that was just, she deserves as much praise as we gave Toni. Toni's just better wrestler all around. So there you go. But Mariah, yeah, It's very funny that I first knew her as like literally just a super fan on Twitter, and now look at her. So hats off. Dreams do come true.
Yeah, she's really good because she and Willow just had a match at, was it Wrestle Dream or whatever? And it was an excellent match. And so look, she's gotten very good in the ring herself. So, you know, I guess I would have swapped her and Roxanne, but I think again, that this was appropriate to capture in the moment in time here for her, I think.
Right.
Cool.
Number 10 is an interesting discussion.
Yeah. So number 10 is Athena. Now she's been.
You know,
Athena.
Who's that?
She's that lady who's behind the paywall of honor and.
Oh, I get you. That's the lady that I love a lot. And Tony put her on the show that no one watches, right?
And I might add, Mark Briscoe is the Ring of Honor world champion. He just had a match on the AEW pay-per-view. Every other Ring of Honor champion gets to be on Dynamite and gets to show up on AEW programming. But for some reason, Athena is stuck behind the paywall of honor.
Put her on TV, Tony. Put her on TV.
Yes, and look, as much I have given Tony a lot of praise for how he has booked a lot of the AEW women's division this year, they have made this a remarkable improvement. And look at their best. They're right up.
And you got one of your best people on the bench.
That's the problem. So look, for as great as they've been doing this year, because look at their best, they've been right neck and neck with every other women's division this year for the first time. But yet you have Athena behind the paywall of honor, and I
understand if it's not a part of the weekly programming, but dude, like get her on the pay per views once in a while, do something.
If none of the Ring of Honor champions were showing up on AEW programming, right, then that'd be fine. Cause that means, okay, fine, whatever. But all the other Ring of Honor champions have shown up on AEW programming at some point or another. And so it is high time, Tony, that you do that.
Yeah. I agree with Rob. I think just from a personal standpoint, I would have swapped out Roxanne and Mariah, but Rob's not wrong. You want to capture that moment, and it is huge. It's you know, we can't undersell that. It is a huge moment. It's, you know, one of the biggest things AEW's had going and one of the best things AEW's had going. So you want to capture that. What'll be interesting is where she lands next year. And we discussed this privately in our little group chat, how she was received at the post media scrum over the weekend after WrestleDream. And she was very loud and very vocal about the fact that nobody had anything for her. Like, you are the AEW women's champion and none of the quote unquote journalists had anything for you.
Yeah. And then some people try to make excuses for them because,
well, fuck that.
You're the fucking journalist. Okay. You want, right. You want any other time, you want us to treat you like you're Walter fucking Cronkite, like you're reporting from the demilitarized zone somewhere. Okay. So if that's how you want us to see you, then you're going to a media scrum. You know that you will more than likely see all of the champions there.
But dude, also, this speaks to their fucking incompetence. Cause, okay, if literally we're sitting there and somebody says, you know, and there's crickets, I'm just gonna go, so what's next for the women's world champion? Like, give her a softball.
Give her something, man.
Let's go back, Robert. You are correct. The fact that none of you had any fucking prepared questions for the AEW Women's Champion, you're all a bunch of space cadets anyway. But really, none of you could get your, you know, thumbs out of your keisters or off of your Twitter accounts for long enough to be like, so are you going to challenge anyone next? Or is anyone you have your eye on as, you know, type? Nothing?
Or even, are you worried about Tony coming back?
Right.
It's like they have a baked-in storyline right there and nobody thought to ask.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, like, again, and y'all want us to take y'all seriously. Okay, and I'm sorry. And then And by the way, she was in the second match on the card, which meant she was waiting for hours to do this media scrum. Okay. She was waiting for hours.
If I'd have known nobody was going to do anything, I'd have gone to the fucking hotel.
She had
hours to come up with one fucking question. Right. You idiots.
And let's be real here. Okay, because of the way our society is, she can't come to the media scrum sweaty with dried blood on her face like CM Punk did. Okay, she can't do that. Right? Because we don't treat women equally.
No, they got to do a little touch up and clean the hair and up the makeup and right. Yeah.
Still, like, hours, dudes. You made her wait hours. And for that?
And you gave her nothing.
Yeah. And so,
embarrassing.
That is. But, you know, it, yeah. So just, you know, one more reason to shit on wrestling journalists.
Stop spending your money on them.
But in fact, you know what?
Buy a t-shirt.
Buy a t-shirt. If you don't want to buy t-shirts, here's what you can do. You can just send me some cash so I can buy some more of these.
Okay. Rob needs comic book money. We all have our hobbies. Rob does comic books. I have buy some comics. I'm currently doing model cars. I need more paints. I'm saving up for an airbrush system. So buy a t-shirt so I can buy an airbrush system. Rob can support his comic books. And Jason needs a new vape pen or something. I don't know.
We all know where my money goes. My money goes. Bucky needs a new something every week.
Bucky needs more pup cups.
Yeah, right. Goes to the pup cup pond.
So that's the top 10. Now, I took some notes of a few notable names.
Where'd the CEO end up?
Well, she's not on the list because you had to have 10 singles matches.
She got
same reason that Roman Reigns wasn't on the men's 500.
She got
to
the
be fair.
So I don't terrible. Think she had, and then I have to shed a few tears for a moment here.
Oh no! Did it? No way.
Well, look, she's been injured since December.
Right.
Almost the whole grading period.
Oh, no, yeah, Rob.
So, next year, Charlotte.
She got hit with a DNF.
Yeah, so, you know, we miss you. We miss you, and hope next year you'll be back.
Wow.
So back after being gone for a while, back at number 22 is the current SmackDown Women's Champion, Nia Jax.
All right. And climbing the ladder, I fully expect Nia to break the top 20 next year.
I think we put her over last week, but man, she's having so much fun with this character.
Yes.
Like, and it shows, and she's so good.
Yeah.
I want to put something over here real quick. Number 15, the greatest wrestling gimmick name, like, currently out there, Masha Slamovich.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Every time I hear that name, I pop. It helps that she's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But the name is just incredible.
And
it's an all-timer.
It really is.
And it is very likely, because just some inside baseball, Jordan Grace's contract is up like in January, I think. So it is very likely that Masha Slamovich will be the one to pick up the torch for the knockout division next year.
And they're slowly rebuilding, man. They're getting some talent back over there. They've got Zaya Brookside, who was formerly of NXT UK. That's Bobby Brookside's daughter, if I'm not mistaken. Also, they just picked up the artist formerly known as Xia Li. Haven't seen anything from her recently. I know she went over and had a little run, I think, in Japan that was rather successful. And she just debuted in TNA, 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
And she's carrying over the same type of gimmick that she had in WWE. So the presentation is awesome. Whatever she was lacking in the ring, I hope she's picked up, you know. And again, like we talked earlier about Toni Storm, sometimes you got to get out of the system. Sometimes you just don't learn everything. And not saying, and this is not an indictment of the WWE PC. Its track record speaks for itself. It's fucking awesome. but some people just learn differently. And you could have the best coaches, the best teachers, the best trainers in the world, but if your learning capacity is different, you have to get out of there to go elsewhere in the world to learn something. And that's no matter what you do. You know, some people learn differently. Some people learn by watching videos on the internet. Some people learn from a book. I personally, when I learned my job, I didn't learn shit from a book. I had to get my hands on everything. It's just how I learn. I'm very tactile.
That's how I am too. I have to like get my hands on it and do it.
Yeah. Don't tell me. Don't show me. Let me just like stand over me while I do it. And, right. you know, and some people are just that's how they learn. And hopefully, you know, she's put together whatever she just wasn't getting to keep her in WWE. I hope that she's found it and continues to find it because I really love the presentation. I think it's a Xia Zhao, I think is how you would pronounce it now. But the artist formerly known as Xia Li. So yeah, TNA's rebuilding the roster. Obviously losing Jordynne Grace, if they do in January as expected, is going to be a huge blow to that division. But they've got some really good potentials coming up.
Yeah. And look, and at some point, well, cause we know, look, like 2 years ago, Chelsea Green and Mia Yim ended up back there. And yeah. So, you know what? Don't be surprised if sometime within the next year or two, the ladies from either NXT or the main roster even may end up there. Cause look, we've talked about how the math ain't mathing with the roster in general. So.
Oh, and they just added three huge women's talents to the NXT roster. So that means either somebody's got to move up or some people are going to unfortunately move on.
Yeah. So, you know, but. Method, that's just what it is. But be thankful that TNA is there though, for that is a great landing spot. Okay, so going forward, so look, there are a bunch of NXT women all on this list. And look, now honestly, if you're writing a magazine, now there's so many women in NXT, it's very easy just to throw a bunch of them in the list. Not that they don't deserve to be there, but it's a, you know, because when
there's enough of them.
Yeah. And most notable, Kalani Jordynne is number 29.
Okay.
Well, and also think of it like this. It's a kayfabe list. If you made it to NXT, that's a certain prestige unto its own.
And Kalani is a title holder in NXT, so.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's had a very successful year. I mean, she's had a hell of a 2024, Kalani has.
Yes.
And we like her, so great.
But again, forget, this is a kayfabe list, guys, so.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, she's a young, up-and-coming women's North American champion. Like, that's nothing to snuff at.
Yes. At number 33 is our buddy Jace's favorite women wrestler, Billy Starks.
Oh, yeah.
I love Billy.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine she'll go up the list in the next, 2 years?
A lot of friends of the show towards the top end of this list. I love it.
Yeah. And we mentioned Dana Brooke, you know, now known as Ash by Elegance. She is number 45.
There you go.
So, again, that's somebody else went to TNA and has turned her career around. So, okay.
Well, and she's been doing Ash by Elegance ain't just a nickname. She's been doing the whole, like, rich character, like, and, you know, I don't get the access anymore with my, you know, I finally dropped having every channel. And so I haven't seen a lot of it, but she's been playing. This might not be something she would ever be able to do in WWE.
Yeah, so I don't have that yet because I still have cable, but Verizon dropped Access TV. So I have TNA Plus, and you know, if you're going to get a streaming, Peacock is great for WWE stuff, but I would say if you're looking for a wrestling company streaming service, TNA Plus is very good. And I highly recommend. And one more that stood out for me, it's at number 167. Somebody who we have been rooting for on the show for a good while here, and that is Lash Legend.
Excellent. Yeah. Good to see her getting some love and getting some TV time. We actually discussed her 2 or 3 weeks ago and how all of a sudden, like, they did a bunch of stuff with her and then did nothing. But all of a sudden, she's back on TV, had a big match with Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill for the Tag Team Championships. And then they were on SmackDown, which was incredible. So you're good to see her back in the fold, and they're actually still trying to do something with her.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had our fingers crossed for a while because, again, like there have been times where she's gone into witness protection, and we've been a little bit concerned about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So to see her, I mean, to see her getting this kind of recognition is wonderful.
It is. It is. There's a local girl that I want to shout out. I know she doesn't listen to the show, and she probably doesn't even know I exist. But there's a girl named Dream Girl Ellie who has wrestled all over Florida. She's done some job work for NXT. She's done some job work for AEW. I know I've seen her on there. Most notably, she's been on Al Snow's Ohio Valley Wrestling. I think it's on Netflix. She was part of that show for a little while. She's a local girl, so I think she's based primarily out of Tampa. She's been all around the Central Florida area, making a name for herself, building a reputation. And she clocked in at number 127, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, so nice. I like to see a local girl, getting some recognition because we really do have some incredible independent wrestling talent in the Central Florida area. Like there's three or four major promotions in the area that are putting out good stuff.
That's good to hear. And look, and for me, as we always say, one of the best things about this list is when you see some of the people on Twitter, who just got in there for the first time and they're just so recognized or they moved up, big this year and they're just happy to be recognized for moving up in their career. And so, we can argue over the top 10 or whatever, but that's really, kind of
like we said about the men. Yes, it's a kayfabe list, but the people compiling the list chose you. They chose 250 women out of hundreds, if not thousands, and they chose you. Yeah, you put that over. You absolutely go online and put that over.
Oh, yeah.
So congratulations to everybody who made it. And again, for the most part, we have little disagreements about who's where and whatever, but I think ultimately, I think they did a good job this year.
I think they did too. Like I said, we could probably shuffle around maybe the top 10, maybe a couple people in 10 to 20, but all in all, man, I have no problems with this list. Like really, I don't.
Yeah. And I'm just too lazy to do the math, but my point is sometimes we overrate things that didn't happen in the timeline or happened very recently. And like that influences how we feel about the top, 10 or whatever. But
right. Well, we also take
they got it right.
We take recency bias and personal bias into account right. When we look at these things, and we don't look at the broader picture. Like I can look at the top 10 and say, okay, I would have put Rhea Ripley at number one from a personal perspective because personally, of the top 10, she's my favorite. But I have to look at this objectively and say, you know what? Toni Storm makes the better claim. Jordynne Grace makes the better claim overall at being number two. Rhea was injured for 4 months. That hurts.
Yep.
So, being objective and looking at it realistically, I can't argue with it. So.
Yep.
So. All right, guys, how about we call it early tonight?
That sounds good to me.
Guys, good. All right, let's do that. Let's call it early here tonight. I'll wrap back around the room and thank my co-hosts from the Rob the Genius podcast. Mr. Rob, sir, thank you. Had a fun show tonight. This was good talk.
Yes, sir. Always good to be here.
Yep. And Jason, sir, fun night tonight, man.
That was great. We had some good discussions of varying topics. That was great. And so many friends of the show on the PWI list. That was great.
Even people that don't know their friends.
Hey, well, I love that guy.
And I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week. And actually, believe me, I'm out. Rob and Jason are here next week. I'll see you next week.
Maverick and Goose, baby. Maverick and Goose, we'll take care of it. Don't worry, buddy.
Yes, we will.
All right. Everybody have a good one. Be safe. Be good. And we'll see you on the next one.
All right.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.